Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
This is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
Welcoming my colleague and friend, Gregory Copley of Defense and Foreign Affairs, to comment on the news out of the Middle East via Washington. U.S. National Security Advisor Jake Sullivan says Iran's missile attack against Israel, quote, appears to have been defeated and ineffective. This is the Times of Israel reporting. He goes on to say there will be severe consequences for this attack, and we will work with Israel to make that the case. This is a White House briefing. Pressed on what that response might look like, Sullivan says the U.S. has already begun discussing the issue with Israel and that those conversations will continue. He declined to give additional details. The Israeli remark is there will be a powerful response. Gregory, a very good evening to you. 180 missiles. Right now, the casualties are light. There's one KIA reported. We wait. Fog of war. But in any event, the missiles were not effective. And the White House is saying there will be a response. Are you surprised that Iran made this gesture so quickly and without especially a battle plan? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. Well, I'm not surprised that they made this decision. It shows the degree of panic in which the Iranian clerical leadership is in. They did apparently inform the Russians that they were going to respond, and I believe that the Russians have basically wiped their hands on them because they know how dangerous this is for the future of Iran. It's interesting that the strike was launched by the Revolutionary Guard, the IRGC, Iranian Revolutionary Guard Command, not by the Iranian armed forces. And it was, in response to the killing of Hassan Nasrallah, the Hezbollah head, which is, again, very close to the heart of the IRGC, the Revolutionary Guard, which controls, essentially, Hezbollah. So we're looking at a situation where it appears that the Iranian armed forces have been put into silent mode and are not involved in the response. So the question is, are they being subdued? The Russians have basically tried to stop this from happening because they know that this threatens and jeopardizes their major breakthrough, which is the International North-South Transport Corridor, which gives them an opening to the Arabian Gulf and the Indian Ocean as a trade route and as a naval capability. So they are not happy with any of this, and it begs the question whether the Russians may be considering supporting the armed forces in trying to, shall we say, recapture the situation and at the expense of the clerics and of the Revolutionary Guard. So, in other words, will Russia support an overthrow of the clerical government if it can retain influence with the armed forces led government, which is be the logical thing. The Revolutionary Guard has gone to great lengths to try to stop that happening, but it shows the extent of the panic with the clerics, who know that their number one threat is not Israel. They are not deterred by the Russians. They are, in fact, well aware that unless they do something to re-establish leadership and command, that they will be absolutely vulnerable to overthrow by the population. This is it has come to that head. So the Russians have therefore given up hope of controlling the clerics overall, and we now see that Iran is in free fall, and in that respect, I think both the Israelis and the U.S. National Security Advisor Jake Sullivan have got this right, in that Iran is in a dangerous position. The question for Israel and the West is now, whether and how they respond to this so as not to reinforce, if you like, Russian control over Iran. We saw Benjamin Netanyahu, the Israeli prime minister, in his most recent talk, saying that the Israeli people, the Jewish people, have no problem with the Persian people and that they've historically been linked, which is the case, and in fact going back into ancient history with the Persian people. So the Israelis are now making it clear that they are supporting the Iranian population and distinctly separating them from the clerics.
Going to Lebanon, the numbers I've had most recently is 70% of the command and control of the Hezbollah terror outfit are gone. KIA, 70%, led, of course, by Nasrallah, but commanders of the field, commanders of the rocket forces. At the same time, the Lebanese society is in turmoil because Hezbollah dominated it with an iron fist for so long. The question is, Lebanon falling apart into civil war, that's a doubt that was raised in Europe this morning. Hezbollah is not able at this moment to rally, apparently. What we have is an incursion along the border by the IDF, the 98th Division, that's Special Forces and Commandos, and they're raiding in the intention to clear from the border to the Latani River that area that was supposed to be empty of Hezbollah to begin with by a UN agreement in 2006. That's the immediate mission, I'm told, of the Israelis. But Hezbollah, does it exist as a body? We're told this is the fourth or fifth largest military in the world, but right now it's headless and voiceless.
Absolutely. In fact, it's interesting that they were so active in that area near the Tani River, where my uncle was shot in the Second World War by the Vichy French. So the fighting has continued since then. But the reality is that a lot of the Lebanese polity outside of the Shia population are pleased at this opportunity to regain control of Lebanon. So as much as there's been overwhelming resentment of Israel for inflicting so much punishment on the population over many years, the reality is that this time they are seeing this as an opportunity to regain control of the country, minimize the influence of the Shia population, and particularly of Hezbollah, which has been more responsive to Iran than it has been responsive to the Lebanese situation, including the Lebanese Shia population.
It is not an effective army that loses 70% of its commanders in several days. So I'm wondering about this assumption that Hezbollah is mighty. Is it overstated, this the strength of Hezbollah?
Well, there's no question that it's been overstated. Even if they have the number of combatants which they hint at, and we don't really even know what that number is, the reality is that they are not equipped with strategic capabilities. They have no air power. They have no really any sea power other than in a guerrilla format. So there's nothing they could do, for example, to counterattack Israel and put boots on the ground in Israel in a substantive manner, in an occupying manner. So at best, they are an insurgency group on steroids, and that, yes, they do have some heavy rocket forces, particularly short-range ballistic missiles, but they don't have an organized structure there, really, in terms of a formal ability to confront another formal military organization. And, of course, Israel has the technology to absolutely overwhelm them. In fact, what we've seen from the last year is that Israel has emerged as the absolutely most powerful military power in the entire Middle East. And this is a lesson, particularly not just for Iran, which is completely now cowed and subdued by this, but to Turkey as well, because Erdogan, realizing what he unleashed with his support for Hamas, which is very much is within his political orbit, he's seen that Israel now focuses its attention on the command of Hamas as well, which is in Turkey. And so Turkey has basically moved its armed forces to be ready for war with Israel. And while President Erdogan of Turkey may welcome that in the short term because it diverts attention from his economic collapse. It would be the destruction, mean the destruction of the Turkish armed forces, particularly the Air Force and the Navy. Their ground forces wouldn't even get close.
Is this an opportunity for the Russians to take control of Lebanon, of Syria, of Iran, because they're in such tattered condition?
I don't think so. I think the Russians would find that a step too far. They have certainly consolidated their position not only in the Middle East, but also down into Africa. But they've got resource limitations. They need to rebuild their strategic power projection tools, particularly the Navy. The Air Force is moving ahead positively. They have the strategic depth and the long-term growth capability, but they can't do a lot to consolidate within Syria or Lebanon. Certainly, they're better off in Syria than they are in Lebanon. They are very in tenuous relations with Turkey, even though they're basically, again, subordinated Turkey to Moscow rather than and pulled it away from NATO. So, yes, they come out of it in a positive condition, but not enough to really put boots on the ground in the old Cold War meaning of the term.
You saw that the brother of Bashar Assad, Maher, is believed KIA in his castle or villa, whatever he was living in. And that's associated with another power. We can presume it's IAF. Is Assad an obstacle? Is he living in a bunker, Gregory?
Not really. I mean, obviously taking security precautions, but the Assad family, by and large, has been able to work a modus vivendi with Israel, in which both of them, whilst preserving their claims on territorial boundaries and the like, have learned to live with each other. And I think for Israel, they are very content with, shall we say, a relationship with Bashar al-Assad and the present Syrian situation. The Syrians have been going out of their way not to be overtly antagonistic towards Israel.
What should we look for with Hezbollah? It looks completely demoralized and scattered. And history says you can't pull that together.
That's true. And certainly Israel will not allow Hezbollah the maneuvering room to regroup. It will continue to harry them and has got the ability to do so. It's as we've seen, one of the great developments, if you like, great in terms of scope, the developments of the war with Hamas and subsequently Hezbollah has been the use of cyber warfare on a complex scale, which has never been seen before by any of the terrorist groups. Their main operating capabilities with Hamas and others, Islam al-Gamia and so on, and with Hezbollah has been their ability to rely on low tech to avoid being brought into the cyber war. But they're seeing now that even their most basic forms of communication can be weaponized against them. So they are literally outclassed in every way, and there's no way that they can regroup in this present format. They would, even Iran cannot, with all of its money, such as it is, rebuild the technological capabilities of any of its proxy forces.
President Zelensky went home empty-handed. What is next for Ukraine? Gregory Copley, Defense and Foreign Affairs. I'm John Batchelor.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Valspar Ultra starts at just $29.98 a gallon. So we've got you covered when your daughter wants to paint her room again after last year's masterpiece of a unicorn mural.
Dad, please.
Or when you realize that maybe you went too hard on the grayish.
I miss color.
or when you were sure you wanted a home gym, but your elliptical is currently hanging your laundry.
What about a home office?
Shop everything you need for your next phase with Valspar. Available at Lowe's. Price varies by sheen.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.